Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week, Health Minister Andrew Little spoke to Justin about the health sector reforms after the government announced the interim boards of Health New Zealand and the Māori Health Authority this morning. But first, Justin asked Andrew Little about the government's 10-year plan for mental health, which was announced yesterday.
I want to start this week off by talking about Kia Mana Wānui. So it's a population, you announced it yesterday, it's a 10-year plan for mental health, and it goes on a population-based approach with a cross-government sector focus. Do you mind telling us more about that?
Yeah, so this came out of the Hauranga report that was produced after the kind of stock data on mental health in 2018. We knew there were major challenges, and part of it was to kind of reorienting the system away from medicalising every kind of mental health issue, to understanding that actually the big gap was in kind of basic support, community support. So we made an initial round of investment in 2019, very much beefing up the front line in terms of GP and community clinics, and for people with mild to moderate mental health issues, getting some help there. There was a call for a long-term pathway. What is the long-term vision for our mental health services? And so what we announced yesterday is very much that. And it is saying, there's more, you know, you can't just rely on the publicly funded health services to fix every mental health challenge we've got. There's a lot we need to be doing in other ways. We know that, for example, having unstable housing arrangements is a source of mental distress. So that tells us we have to keep focused on fixing the housing problem. Likewise, if you don't have a job, so making sure that we are supporting businesses, the labour market, to make sure, you know, people are getting into work and those sorts of things. And then for those who do have serious mental health challenges and who do need the help of health services, there's a recovery time, and we want that recovery as much as possible to be in the community. So making sure that there are community services there, but actually just making sure that more people than ever before kind of just understand that we all have periods where we're going to go through where life is going so well, where we are feeling mental distress, and how we respond and manage to that, or help others to respond and manage to it, is critically important. So knowing that there's a whole range of different ways to respond to this, and making sure that over the next 10-year period, we are not just putting in the service change that's required, but the culture change that's required as well.
Well, this sounds very long-term. Well, and we know it's important to tackle the drivers of causing mental health problems. But in the short term, especially for young people in tertiary institutions, they are facing long wait times for mental health counselling. How is the plan going to cut down more pressing problems such as long wait times?
Yeah, so the plan isn't about saying, look, we have this 10-year vision, so look, everybody just hang around for 10 years and it'll all come right. There's short-term, medium-term and long-term stuff we have to do. The short-term stuff is dealing with those issues right now. So we are putting additional funding into, particularly into youth mental health services and support services in our tertiary institutions. And we committed that money last year. We're putting additional money in this year, and we're keeping monitoring just to make sure that what is being put in place is meeting the need. I think that there are real challenges even right now, and we're constantly going out there to make sure that we have the available means to support people. We do have major workforce challenges right now. That is an immediate challenge. That's not something we get to fix easily. We certainly start the process now by funding more places, more training places, not only for people newly entering the mental health sector, but those currently in the health sector, but who are keen to look at mental health work, and providing them with the additional training and upskilling that they need. So we are, look, it's the range of short-term and long-term measures we have to do, and doing the best we can with the pressure that's on us right now to make sure that we're also meeting today's needs.
Would the plan also involve changing the ring fence that the Ministry of Health has to provide to mental health services?
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of reviewing that ring fence at the moment because there is a suspicion that many DHBs have respected it and observed it, others haven't so much. As we transition into Health New Zealand, which takes over all of the DHBs next year, we want to make sure that Health New Zealand is devoting the proper amount of resources to mental health care. And we've got a program of ongoing investment in terms of facilities, adding more to the workforce, but we've got to make sure that the health system properly funds that and supports that, and that mental health doesn't become the sort of afterthought as it was for many, many years over the last 20, 30 years.
I might go on to the health and disability sector reforms a little bit, but I want to go back to the timeframes that you mentioned in the previous questions. Now, those are just three timeframes, but there is little in terms in the plans in terms of numerical milestones. So for example, for waiting times for mental waiting times for counselling services, are there targets for you that you would like to follow on?
I guess people can get access to counselling services through a whole range of different sort of ways. We wanted to make sure that services are available and that the personnel are there to provide those services. In terms of the acute end, actually, the health measures that we announced a couple of months ago for the new health system has a specific health measure about child and adolescent mental health and waiting times for that, because we know there's a major problem there and we need to bring that down, and we will only do that by putting the right resources in the right places for that. Underpinning those broad health measures is a whole bunch of more detailed ones. So when it comes to the health system generally, on mental health, there's a lot of targets that we will have for that. So look, we are keeping focused on that kind of service delivery end of it. But again, we know that mental health services right now, we are, even with the investments we've been putting in over the last couple of years, we still have a way to go. We still have challenges to meet. But we've committed to it, and we're putting the resources there, and we will make the difference.
Okay. Now let's go on to the health and disability sector reforms. Now you announced the Interim Health New Zealand Board just this morning. So what is the Interim Board's job?
Well, their job is to get to work straight away and get things set up ready for kind of start of the new system in 1 July next year. So we've got the boards in place. Their first real task will be to appoint interim chief executives as they start to build their organisations, build their structures and what have you. And then over the next few months, starting beginning of next year, various functions and services that exist at the moment, particularly in the ministry, will be transferred into those entities. So that by the time we get to 1 July next year and cut over to the new system, you know, everything will be in place. We've got the legislation to get through as well, of course. We've got things like the health charter, the development of a health plan, all that has to be done as well. The interim boards will be involved in that. But the main thing they'll be doing is doing the foundation work for their respective organisations so that they are functional and ready to go on 1 July next year.
Well, I think we mentioned this at the beginning, since you announced the health reforms, that having the entire system rehauled by July 1st next year is a big challenge. Well, especially New Zealand has been going through level 4 lockdowns again. Is it still feasible to have that July 1st deadline?
Yes, I think it is. And certainly the response I get out of the sector and the hospital sector is they are very enthusiastic about these changes. They are very keen to have them. I think when you have a look and see what's happened in the last few weeks, particularly in Auckland, where you've got a health workforce that has been just under the pump for so long and needing some respite, they reached out to the rest of the country to see whether they get nurses and other health workers from other parts of the country to come and help. I had one of the senior clinicians telling me a couple of weeks ago that 2 years ago they could not have even imagined that it would be easy to do that at all, but they found it so easy this time because the mindset is change is already happening. People are already thinking about the system as a national system, and that's what we want, that's what we need. So it is challenging at the moment, and we have to be very careful that as we implement the change, we don't disrupt the response to COVID and the rollout of the vaccination program and what have you. I'm confident that we are being respectful of that, but equally, I'm conscious that there is an enthusiasm for the change and we want to get on and do it.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
That was